News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams here, hosting Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Hey, folks, we're going to keep moving forward on some other topics. By the way, I'll tell you this. It is now 3:36 p.m. in the afternoon on Tuesday, August 31st. Here's your weather report. You either just got wet a little while ago or you're getting wet right now somewhere in the listening area because, boy, the rain has been coming down. I am sitting in the most studious of studios with a cup of coffee, looking out the French doors at the golf course behind my office, and wow, like a blowing rain that just doesn't seem to want to stop. But anyway, dry days are coming. Hang in there. I'm just thankful that Hurricane Ida did not mean worse than what it was, especially for this listening area, which has seen so many tornadoes spawn from storms like that. And so, yeah, we're doing better than it could have been. But, hey, I told you something at the bottom of the last hour, or the last segment, about the fact that we now have a committee studying racist language in Alabama's Constitution. Well, I would like to point something out. This is not news, all right? Some of y'all know I spent 8 years in the Alabama State Senate, from 2010 to 2018. During that time, I'll never forget my friend who's on the network here on my show and other shows quite often from Decatur, Senator Arthur Orr, who, by the way, ranked as one of the most conservative members of the state Senate on the Alabama Policy Institute's new scorecard. You can find that scorecard, by the way, just as a quick aside, on my website, rightsideradio.org. That scorecard will tell you exactly how your state legislator did as a conservative or non-conservative member. You'd be surprised. Anyway, all that to say, gosh, I'm going to say this is probably 2014. Yeah, that sounds right. 2014, we had a bill. Arthur pointed out to me, Senator Orr pointed out to me and others that we had language in our Constitution that still like called for, you know, separate schools for black and white children. I'm like, what? Are you kidding me? Yeah, right now, Section 256 says separate schools shall be provided for white, and it uses the word colored, which is awful. Should be provided for white and colored children, it says, and no child of either race permitted to attend a school of another race. I cannot believe that language still exists anywhere, much less in our state constitution. It was never removed. Well, it's a constitutional amendment to get it out. A constitutional amendment requires special passage by the legislature and then a vote of the people. Should not be hard, right? Well, guess what happened? We had a revision. We passed it unanimously in the state Senate, passed it unanimously, my recollection, in the House. It went to a vote. Guess who opposed this thing tooth and nail? Guess who put money into fighting it? The teachers' union. Why would they do that, pray tell? Do they want to preserve racist language in our Constitution, do you ask? It's a great question. You know what they did? They made the claim that if we went with a change to existing constitutional provisions about schooling, that Republicans may well try to diminish the ability for children to get an education in Alabama. Are you hearing this, Copper? Are you hearing this argument right now? I want to ask you. All right, Copper, let me ask you this. If we were to remove racist language, would you buy the argument that we should not be allowed then to do so because it might also diminish the ability to get an education at all? Would you buy that argument?
That's so convoluted.
I know. They should sell like cheap used cars and like wear, you know, suits from the 70s and you know, and just, it's just crazy. It's like a clown car full of nuts rolled in and unloaded and started yelling at us that things that made no sense whatsoever. I mean, I remember them making the argument and we all looked at them like, you're crazy. Well, that language still exists because the teachers union put so much money into fighting it that apparently they have the bully pulpit. The teachers union has the AEA journal. The AEA journal comes out on a regular basis, and it's basically it's like the highest form of propaganda I have ever seen. I actually was honored to have been lampooned, I think, two or three times, caricatures of me drawn in the AEA journal. I had one of them laminated, and I put it on the wall of my office. It was awesome. You know, to know that I've been lampooned by the teachers' union was like a badge of honor. To have been lampooned more than once was like, man, I must be doing something right. But nonetheless, that teacher's AEA journal, it goes out. There's a lot of teachers in Alabama, and they have a lot of family members. And when they get that, and it says, don't let them do it. Tell your friends. Don't vote at the polls. Strike down this amendment. they won, and we still to this day, because of the teachers union, have a provision that provides for separate schooling in our state constitution. Well, listen, there's a committee studying this right now. My recollection is that Senator Sam Gavan from Huntsville is also on that committee, and it's for the recompilation of the Constitution, and they're holding public hearings right now to talk about this. There's several things they want to do. They want to remove racist language, number one. They want to remove duplicative or repealed sections because there's all kinds of just worthless language in there that's not even, you know, applicable anymore. They want to consolidate economic development provisions and, you know, bring them out from the different places and put them into one. And then you want to arrange all of what's called the local amendments by county so that you can get to them quicker and tell where they are. So you'd think that would make sense. I don't know. So Copper, I think you can probably answer this knowing what we're talking about. What would you imagine is the world's longest constitution?
Ours?
Yes, Alabama. Alabama has, if I'm not mistaken, the world's longest constitution. It's huge. I mean, it's literally, I've forgotten exactly how long it is, but it dwarfs the Constitution of the United States. It dwarfs the it's because every time we have to do something at a local level, or they make some kind of archaic thing, they don't remove stuff, they just amend and it adds on, and it is basically, this document has morphed over time, and it dates back to 1901. It is time for it to be changed.
Yeah.
It is way time for it to be changed. We tried to make changes as we went. We had a committee to review. I'm hoping this committee will have better luck. And I hope the teachers union sits back and actually works on education instead of working on stupid stuff like trying to keep archaic racial language in our Constitution. That's got to change. Anyway, that's that. That's happening right now. Put that paper down. Hang on a second. Let me get this paper over here. I got another one. Wow. Okay, so here's one. Your state is in the news fighting for conservative values. Did you know? Pay attention. Did you know? 20 states have sued the Biden administration over the Biden administration's guidance that allows biological males on girls' sports teams. Okay, first of all, there's a thing called Title IX. If you're not familiar, Title IX has done more for women's sports and been providing for equal opportunity, equal access to sporting. And you'll see this sometimes. You'll see, I saw it here not long ago. One local school system faced a lawsuit because they had great baseball fields, but they had like these raggedy old girl softball fields. And that's, you know what? Title IX says no. Equal access, equal facilities. You make sure that what one has, the other has, and you provide the opportunities. And this whole transgender in sports thing is destroying Title IX. And actually, the feminists are getting pretty uptight. So now suddenly these intersectionalities that we talked about the other day, intersectionalities, where you've got literally, you know, one liberal activist group and another liberal activist group are now feeding off of each other, or actually trying to kill each other. And so the LGBTQ activists that want transgender participation in cross-gender sports, well, the women's rights activists are saying, well, no, that's not right. We'll campaign for you sometime, but not on this one. And so suddenly the women's rights activists are livid. Well, here's what's happening. 20 states have filed a lawsuit against the Biden administration in an attempt to halt directives that have been put forth by the Biden administration that would extend federal sex discrimination protections to transgenders to include sports. So attorney generals in these 20 states are challenging the federal guidance that was issued by the EEOC and the Department of Education, believe it or not, concerning issues regarding transgender participating in sports and workplace bathrooms and that kind of thing. Where is the portion I was going to read? Flip the page. They say the agencies have no authority to resolve sensitive questions like this, let alone to do so by executive fiat without providing any opportunity for public participation. In other words, they did it in the blind, sort of one of those dark of the night executive order type things where they change the way we live, but they skirt the actual legislative authority that's supposed to enact the laws, that being Congress. So joining Tennessee, who started the lawsuit, are Alabama, Alaska, Arizona, Arkansas, Georgia, and a host of other states. So all said and done, your attorney general is reaching out once again to band together with other conservative attorney generals to fight the good fight. Folks, when I told you early on in the show, when I did my monologue, and I talked about the fact that despair is not an option, that we have to dust off and move out and operate within whatever constraints you're in and find your sphere of influence and go work in it. Well, that's at all levels. And that's what our Attorney General, Steve Marshall, is doing. You know, we had him on the show not long ago to talk about this. The attorney generals and the state legislators are very often the firewall for the state against overreach like this. And so when you see a liberal overreach in the form of an executive order that extends itself as if it's a lawmaker, and by the way, they're not lawmakers. The executive branch is supposed to administer and enforce the law. The legislative branch enacts the law. But they're doing this regulatory fiat on a regular basis, just like Biden said, with his pen and his phone. Got my pen and my phone. I'm going to go get them done. Got my pen and my phone. Well, it's not supposed to work that way. Well, Attorney General Steve Marshall is saying, you know what? Not on my watch. Well, good on him. Good on him. All right. I got some others sitting here, but we're going to go to a short break. I see that Jen Psaki right now is at the microphone doing the best she can, which ain't great, trying to explain the domestic agenda and why that's important in the midst of everything else going on about Afghanistan. When we come back, I'm going to tell you about one of the latest plans to try and curtail some of your Second Amendment opportunities by the Biden administration. Once again, they're enacting by fiat as opposed to going through Congress. All right, folks, plenty more where that came from. Top of the hour, we'll have a guest. Mike Durant from Black Hawk Down will be on with us. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams here hosting Right Side Radio Monday through Friday, 2 to 5 p.m. on the News Talk Powerhouse in North Alabama. And this is the biggest show across the northern part of the state in the afternoons right here, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, just plain right. Hey, listen, how many of y'all are gun folks? Because I'm going to tell you right now, it's hard to find somebody more Second Amendment friendly than me. You know, with my background and just my personal love of firearms, listen to some of the ads that we have on this show. I mean, you can imagine. I'm a gun guy, but I watch closely. When I see things happening, I'm like, okay, the Second Amendment is constitutionally protected. They can't get around that too easy. Well, they keep trying. And you know, a few minutes ago, I used the term executive fiat. So when executive orders come down, you have to look at them and say, what are they doing? What is really happening here? Well, a lot of times executive orders appear to have face value, but they also have secondary gains. There's a thing we call collateral gain syndrome. That's where you intend something, but you're really doing it for another purpose. And right now, there's what's considered to be another backdoor plan to try and limit gun ownership. And they're just chinking away. This won't apply to everybody. It won't impact everyone, but it impacts some. And it has an impact on the market. And so what they've done is this. When did this happen? It happened, it's being reported now, but it happened on August 20th, apparently. The State Department. Oh, good. The State Department. That's that group run by, what's his name? Blinken, the guy who was vacationing in the Hamptons while Kabul fell. Anyway, on August 20th, the U.S. State Department announced it would soon prohibit the importation of Russian ammunition and firearms, adding to an already dramatic ammunition supply shortage. So if you tried to go out and buy ammo of late, you may find it's hard to find. You may find that it's hard to find because the shelves are bare, in part because when people saw last year's riots, recognized the extent of government overreach, saw Biden being touted in the press and carried through a basement-run campaign into the presidency, knowing that he was an anti-gun person, people began buying firearms at record levels. And if you imagine every time someone buys a gun, they have to also buy ammo to go with it, the store shelves are swept clean. You still can't hardly buy anything. I'm afraid to shoot up what I've got because I may not get any more. I went to the range with my son not long ago, and we burned off some rounds. We tried to buy some more thereafter, and what little we could find was priced at like $1.50 a round. It was just unreal. But on August 20th, what they've done is they've begun to chink away at some of the firearms that people use that are not made in America. Oh, look, the State Department can affect that one. We'll sanction that one. We'll ban its importation. Well, if you want to buy an SKS, you're going to have more trouble now. If you want to buy something with 7.62 caliber ammunition, you're going to have more trouble now. Now, granted, there are plenty around in the United States. There are those that are also American-made, and 7.62 is not a completely uncommon round. However, what I'm saying is the market got slimmer. Now, what was this for? What did they style it for? Well, it's not related to some kind of important problem with the Russian firearms. They're claiming that it's a second round of sanctions over the use of a nerve agent when Russian opposition figure Alexei Navalny was poisoned in August of 2020. So the Biden administration has said, you know what, we're gonna punish them further. What can we do? We'll punish them with not allowing them to import firearms and ammunition to American markets. That's what you came up with? Really? That's not much of a sanction against the entire nation. But what they are doing is they're limiting the gun market in the United States. You see, right here, where's this quote in the article? Here it is. In 2020, firearm sales soared by more than 21 million over the norm. And it says an astonishing 8.4 million of those were made by first-time gun owners. And that's a huge, huge market increase. So the market already being pressed, supply is already being short. The Biden administration is looking around for ways to make it shorter. And listen, it's not like you're going to find that AKs and SKSs and Makarov pistols, those kind of things are not typically on the street in gang member hands, okay? Those are the kind that enthusiasts and others buy. Those are the kind some people go hunting with. Those are the kind that you see at competitions. Those are not typical, gangland or criminal type elements using those weapons. But the Biden administration is looking for any way that it can right now to limit your gun ownership and to make it difficult. And the left knows if it does not have the political power to do what it wants, like a near complete repeal of the Second Amendment, it'll turn to other tricks and it'll couch them as executive orders or things being done in terms of sanctions against unfriendly states. And that's exactly what they did right here. I'm just telling you, keep an eye out, folks. It's happening. What else have I got here? I got paper. I got everywhere. There's a little cheesy story from I got every once in a while I actually find something on AL.com that's worth talking about, which is pretty rare. I've got some about here's an example. I pulled this story because I had to try and figure out for myself, was it really necessary? Why does AL.com even exist? I mean, all they want to do is tell you everybody's dying of COVID and race is all that matters. And if it's race and COVID, it's a big, big deal. AL.com's got an entire story on the fact that the black population of Birmingham dropped over the last decade while white neighborhoods grew. How about this? Maybe the black citizens got tired of living inside the perimeter of the most liberal city in the state and they began moving their kids to better schools and better locales. Maybe that's what happened. Oh, look, when you read the article, that's what happened. That's not what the headline is, AL.com. How about getting it right next time? All right, folks, listen. Mike Durant, our special guest, coming up at the top of the hour. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. We'll be right back.